this rich ruler who thought he had achieved everything in life but one thing he wanted. And he approached Jesus with a question, hoping that Jesus would give him the response that everyone else has always given him, because he had money and because he had status. Everything he asked for and everything he wanted, he always got. And so he asked for Jesus' eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? In his mind, he's done everything he knows how to do. In his mind, he has everything he needs to have. And all he's waiting for is confirmation from Jesus to say, it's yours. And so he says to Jesus, what must I do to inherit this eternal life? I have enough money. I have enough clout. My family is well known. But salvation is not for purchase. It was already paid for. And so everything that he's already achieved, he thought this was one less thing that I could reach for and that I could pay for, that I could earn. Salvation. The Middle Eastern society and culture dictated that not only was wealth important, but family was vitally important. They stocked everything in their money and in their family. Wherever they go, it was about their family. It was the honor of the family name that they carried with them everywhere they go. And y'all know about that growing up in the South, and they know what? They always want to know who your folks were. If they knew who your parents were, they knew who your grandparents were, they knew what type of person you would be. And so they would carry the family name wherever they went. And it meant something to me. It meant value to them. And Jesus looked at him. He starts by telling Jesus, first of all, good teacher. He starts with a compliment and hoping for a compliment in return. He gives Jesus a title of rabbi and hoping that Jesus would give him a title back in return. He says, why are you calling me good? You know that there's nobody good but God. Are you actually saying that I am God? Do you actually believe what you're saying? You have contributed to me the name of God by calling me good, knowing that there's nobody good but God. Do you actually believe that I am God? The young rich ruler was shocked, caught off guard, did not expect a response like that. No, he didn't believe he was God, but he couldn't say it. And just like many parables, the parable goes out, but there is no answer. Just like the prodigal son, it goes out, but you never find out if the older brother actually accepted the invitation at the end or not. When he found out his brother came back home, no, it was left up to the readers and the listeners to decide whether or not they would go into the banquet. Just like the three that would be disciples came and said, I want to follow you. And Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. It was left up to the listeners and the readers at the end of that parable to decide if you were going to follow Jesus. Just like at the end of this one, it's left up to this young man. He never answered the question if he believed that Jesus was God or not. He was stunned. He was surprised. He didn't know what to say. But just like Jesus, he left him off the hook. And says, I tell you what, don't commit adultery, don't steal, love you and honor your mother and your father. And this young man began to get proud again, because all of these things he was proud of, because he says, I've done all this since I was a kid. And so he was pleased and he was proud again, and because he was proud in himself, everything that he was able to do, he was able to do it because of who he was. And so just like this, he thought Jesus was about to pronounce to him that salvation was his because of everything he's accomplished all his life. And many of us the same way, what we've accomplished in our lives. I've worked hard all my life. I bought my first house. I bought my first car. I did all of this, and you become proud in that we think because we have done all these things that we have earned our way into heaven. As proud as this young man was, Jesus says, I'm glad that you've done all those things that are required in the old law. Now turn around and sell everything you have, and then come follow me. He asked him something from a cultural standpoint that was impossible. If he left his money, if he left his family, he would be nothing. Everybody looked at everybody in the Middle East based off of your family and your wealth. If you have no money, if you have no family, you are nothing. And he says, leave all of that and follow me. He asked him the impossible thing. It's impossible for me to leave everything I've always known to follow a God I really don't know. Abraham was asked to do just that. He didn't know God, but God says, I need you to leave your comfort zone. I need you to leave your family. Leave your place in your family and come to a place that you don't know about because you don't know me yet, but you will. Abraham also knew sacrifice. I need you to give me your son because I need to know if I'm number one in your life or not. He asked him the impossible. With man, it is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Jesus tells this young rich ruler, as all of those around him, it is hard for the rich to leave their lifestyle. It is easier for the camel to go to the eye of a needle. Some commentators think it is a downplay and it wasn't actually a camel. And they thought it was actually a door that was providing for people to walk through or that the camel could actually go through. But he uses the camel because it's impossible. Why? What was impossible with man is made possible with God. It is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It is impossible for you to gain salvation based off of your own merit. It is impossible for you to earn eternal life based off of your lifestyle and based off of what you have earned and based off of how much money you have and who your family is. And so everyone is hurt and everyone is despair. And they said, if the rich can't get saved, then who can? Because they thought the rich could do everything they want to do. If they can't get saved, then who can? With God, nothing would be impossible. But with me, with man, and my ability, my education, my wealth, my family, it is not enough to get me in. In order for us to take the next step, the next move, to be able to launch out into this valley and expand the name of Jesus Christ, we must first know what salvation is, as well as know what salvation is not. It is not something that we can purchase. It is not based off how long you've been a member of Living Stone or any other church, but it's based off of the free gift that God has given. For by grace are you saved, and it's not a gift of men. And he goes on to say, least any man should boast, because he knows what we would do. If I could pay for it, I would tell the world I just bought this, which would leave many out. But he excluded none. Salvation is a free gift, but you can't pay for it. You can't earn it. It is a gift of God. What happens on a day like today that God's Spirit moves in such a way and that we have a high point, but then we leave and we go home and that high point is not at home? It's because the emotion is so tied into it. If you put emotions in it alone, then the fact of the matter is that my salvation is not based off of how I feel. You ever felt like you wasn't saved? Okay, I'll put my hand up. Sometimes I don't. It's not based off of how I feel. Some days I feel great. Some days I feel like everything is wonderful. And other days I feel like everything is falling apart. But even though it feels like it's falling apart, God won't allow it to fall apart. Because my salvation is based off of the fact that he is and that I have accepted him for who he is. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, doesn't say how much money you have or how much clout you have or who your family name is. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Bible says, you shall be saved.